This is Stephen Adams.
And this is Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant. You Kevin Durant, mate? Good to see you, mate. Different complexion.
Okay, let's go. Right.
So, this is Stephen Adams.
And this is Enes Kanter.
You're listening to the Down to Earth...
Down to Dunk podcast.
What? Down to Dunk.
Down to Dunk.
I'll say that.
Dunk. Introduce yourself, mate.
Here's Stephen Adams, and I'm Enes Kanter.
And you're listening to Down to Dunk podcast.
Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Down to Dunk podcast. This is your host, Andrew Schlecht. John Hamm is sick. The hot ham is cold ham today. But not to worry. We have a great guest today. Dylan Young from Up the Thunder is joining us. Dylan, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing better than John, I guess.
I know. He was really trying to make it to the pod, but he's out today. So hopefully he'll be back next week, and hopefully he can be on the radio for you guys tonight. Okay, so the Thunder have lost four in a row, and it's not been great. So they lost to Toronto. That's fine. We're okay with the loss to Toronto. Clippers, also, we're okay with that. Then they lost back-to-back to Orlando and Detroit. Dylan, how are you holding up?
Not good, man. Like, this has been just like so many extremes this year, it feels like. I mean, we rattle off a bunch of wins right at first, and I'm sitting here thinking, okay, maybe we're a good basketball team. And now all of a sudden, it's, you know, trade everybody, panic.
I know. To me, the biggest problem has been that Victor Oladipo has somehow become a spot-up shooter, which is something that he shouldn't be. Even when he's out there with these second units, like, I'm really just not getting it. Like, I don't understand what he... I don't know if he understands what his role is supposed to be, but he should be taking over. Like, do you feel that way? Because I feel like he disappears.
I've had the thought in my mind all day. Is he confused? Does he know his role? Are they trying something new with him? Is he trying to work on something in particular? But it just feels funky. Doesn't feel like he's doing what he needs to be doing.
Yeah, I mean, he should be running pick and rolls. He should be getting to the basket. Because he can, I mean, he's in a lot of ways, he's a lot like Russ, but he's playing like not even anything close to that. Like, they've made him into like this spot up wing, and he's been hitting his threes, which is great. But I think he's a part of the problem with the second unit offense.
Definitely. And, you know, he's, as far as I'm concerned, been brought in to be a superstar for us. And sometimes you forget he plays for us. I mean, that's where I'm at the last couple of games. You know, I'm looking through the stat sheet and I'm like, oh yeah, Victor Oladipo plays for us, and he didn't do a whole lot.
Yeah. It's really been kind of odd, because he's had some good games, but he's just not being assertive. Like, I think that's part of the problem. And he's probably still like trying to figure out how he fits with Russell Westbrook. But to me, the bottom drops out with this team whenever Russ is out. I mean, and he should be able to help that, because he's typically out there with Samaj. But Samaj is like handling the ball during that time, and he's,
yeah,
like, again, he disappears, and it's strange. Also, Stephen Adams hasn't looked too great, and I think that his hand's bothering him. And the Thunder really don't want to acknowledge that, or maybe Adams doesn't want to, but like, that wrap on his hand is an issue, and he just hasn't looked right to me.
Yeah. We've got, four, five, six people that chip in and help with Up the Thunder. And we've all got a chat together. And one thing we're all for sure in agreement is that Stephen Adams' hand is just bugging him. I mean, yeah. He does not look the same. Very tentative. Somebody pointed out, he doesn't even dunk the ball. The other night he had an opportunity, and I noticed he kind of laid it in. So right. I think it's just obvious it's bothering him.
Yeah. And I mean, Adams won't ever admit that anything's bothering him, but I think that's a huge reason why the Thunder struggled against Orlando and Detroit, just because of that. And I mean, if he would just sit out a couple of games, I think that might be helpful for him to just sit out a week. But clearly that's not going to happen. And somebody asked us, I think it was at Wolftooth, asked us if we could change the offense that the Thunder are running, what would we change about it, or if we could run an offense for the Thunder. And to me, I feel like the Thunder are actually doing the things that they can be successful with on offense. They're 24th in offensive efficiency, which is horrible. Like, they're one of the worst teams in the league at scoring points. But they're in the top 10 in offensive rebound percentage. They're 7th in pace. They're 7th in second chance points. They're 4th in fast break points. And they're 3rd in points in the paint. Like, those are all things that they should be good at, and they have been good. But this all goes back to, like, the original point, is that Steven Adams looks hurt, and Victor Oladipo's not assertive. And those are basically, like, your second and third options. And when your second and third options basically aren't there, you're going to kind of suck a little bit on offense, and they have.
Yeah. Well, and, I mean, who's our fourth option? If you look and see who would be our third or fourth player, Enes Kanter's name starts to come up, too.
Right.
And, you know, he's in the mystery zone as well. Well, you know, what are we doing with him?
So, yeah,
hey, we're just in a funk. We're in a weird place, it seems like, right
they
now.
Are.
And I think it's going to be hard to win games when you're in that big of a twilight zone, I guess.
Right. And you can kind of take comfort in this. If you told me at the beginning of the season the Thunder would be 6-5 to start the season, I would say that sounds about right. But the way that the Thunder went about it, when they were 6-1 and then the drop 4 in a row, like that doesn't feel right.
I know, they gave us all these expectations, man. We were dreaming.
We were dreaming. But there's good news coming. So not tonight, though. Houston tonight. Houston's been really good as of late, and James Harden's been completely unstoppable. But after that, they play Brooklyn, Indiana, the Lakers, the Kings, the Nuggets, the Pistons again, the Knicks, and the Wizards to finish out the month, which is a really soft schedule. So the Thunder are going to have a chance to maybe beef up their record a little bit to end the month. And then to begin December, they start with the Pelicans, which is barely an NBA team. So the schedule is super soft to begin with. So the Thunder, they have a chance to really beef this up a little bit if they can get it together.
Yeah.
So hopefully that will happen.
Every, you know, Weston, who wanted to be here today and get to talk with you, you know, he's sick too. He's got that hot ham disease also. But he said the other day, you know, any game that we're not winning now, we're going to pay for that when the schedule gets tougher. So,
yeah.
And this team's going to have growing pains. We're going to have, we're young again. But yeah, like you said, the schedule right now is it's cake compared to what we're going to go through later on in the year.
Right.
So we got to start rattling off some wins.
Yeah, they get to January and they have 3 home games in January. that's going to be brutal. So the hot hand player of the week, I have 2 this week, and they're not on the Thunder. It goes to Serge Ibaka and Elfrid Payton for how well they played against the Thunder the other night. So, if you didn't know, the Orlando Magic have been an awful shooting team all season. They are last in true shooting percentage in the entire league, even today, even after the outstanding performance that they had. Elfrid Payton's line that night, 23 points, 7 rebounds, 9 assists, 9 assists and 2 steals, and he hit 3 threes. And he's never hit 3 threes in an NBA game ever. Serge Ibaka, 31 points, 9 boards, 4 blocks. And obviously he hit that game winner. He was also a -6, so take that, Serge Ibaka.
There we go.
But they're the hot hand players of the week, sponsored by Anchor Down. So if you love NBA basketball and you love corn dogs and you love beer, you should go to Anchor Down during games, before games, after games. They're going to have the game on inside and outside. So it's been super nice outside in Oklahoma City. If you like to sit out on a patio and watch the Thunder game, it's a great place to go. You should do that. And hopefully, well, actually, I know this for sure, you will never watch Elfrid Payton and Serge Ibaka do what they did on that patio ever again. So go to Anchor Down, enjoy some food.
Is it just his hair? Is that why we don't like him?
Payton's? Elfrid Payton's?
Yeah.
I like his hair.
I
don't know what it is, but I like it.
I like the wild stuff, but that just seems heavy. Like, I feel like he could be a better player without it.
Maybe that's what's holding him back. It does look heavy.
Yeah.
It really does. We're going to go into some Twitter questions First question from at Ben Vance. Has your opinion of the team drastically changed since they were 6-1?
No. I've been doom and gloom talking to you, but I think we knew what to expect. You know, some people were hoping this team would just get in the playoffs. So I do think still as high as the 4 seed, if we can get things going. But we're in the middle of that Western Conference race somewhere. So my opinion hasn't drastically changed. I think I've been reminded of that, the last couple weeks, that not to set my expectations too high, but I'm not freaking out just yet.
Yeah, there's no reason to panic. Like, the Thunder are a 6-5 team. Like, they're going to be closer to 500 than they are to 60 wins, and it's kind of hard to accept that as a fan base that's had a 60 win team for forever. I know they had 55 wins last year, but last year was a 60 win team that just happened to lose a bunch of close games. Yeah, I mean, this is just going to be a team that's going to win games. They're going to lose some stupid games like they did earlier this week, and they're going to win games that maybe they shouldn't, like they beat the Clippers. It's just going to be a mixed bag. Like, and I also think you've got 10 players under the age of 25. If you've ever been under 25, you know that consistency is really not your thing. And so you're just going to have to, we just kind of have to live with that fact, at least until maybe the Thunder make a trade for a veteran or until these guys kind of grow up a little bit.
And that's just part of it. That's kind of hard to accept is that, hey, we are young again. I mean, we were young a few years ago and we used that, but I know expectations were still high, but we're back to being young again. So that's a strange, unique situation to be in, but it's a good problem.
Right. And they're starting a rookie. Which is, a lot of teams will struggle if they start a rookie. And that goes into our second Twitter question from Shannon Z. Ward. After 10 games, thoughts on OKC's rookies? Any surprises or updated comparisons?
I'm in love with Sabonis.
Oh, me too.
I mean, from the, like, I don't know, I don't want to sound weird, but he's just like, he's got this like cute kid-like face.
Of course.
For him so bad.
There's Arenas is kind of like that too, where they're.
Yep.
And Royce, I don't feel as weird saying it because I know that Royce said it last week that he's cute. He's just.
but he's basketball side of things. I've been impressed.
Yeah.
I cannot wait to see this guy after he's been in the weight room and has a couple years of experience underneath his belt. I couldn't be more ecstatic about him.
I don't know if you saw this comp, and it came from one of our listeners, Heath Black, asked somebody at ESPN about a comp for Sabonis. Mm-hmm. And the comp was Kevin Love-ish, which I hadn't really even considered. I hadn't really even thought of that. But once you do think about it, like Sabonis, he's a plus rebounder, and he's even a good offensive rebounder. He hasn't had a chance to show that because they haven't really put him in position to do it yet. Can shoot from outside, can pass. Like, if he can be like poor man's to middle class man's Kevin Love, like, that would be amazing.
It'd be great. I mean, and I've been talking about it so much. If you trade Serge Ibaka for Sabonis straight up, it's not even that terrible.
It's really not.
I mean, I was thinking that before the Orlando game and ate my words.
I'm right there with you because I've been talking Sabonis up so much and killing Serge Ibaka, but I guess Serge saved like all his energy that he had before and will have ever again on that OKC return game. Yeah, I love Sabonis. I'm right there with you. I think that his abilities are crazy. Samaj is a rookie, technically. He hadn't played in the league yet. He's been fine. I mean, he's really showing himself to be more of like a third guard, at least at this point in his career. He's had some good games. He has a lot of games where he just doesn't contribute a whole lot. He's better defensively than I thought he would be, and he can be useful in lineups like that. But this team needs Cameron Payne to come back to have a productive second unit. And then Abrines, I mean, he hasn't really been able to get into a groove yet, but you can tell that he's a good shooter, even though he hasn't shot the ball particularly well.
I like what little we've seen from him, for sure. He's come in and he's made some big shots at certain times, and then other times he looks like a 10-year-old on the floor. But I like it. I like what I see.
Yeah, he's super skinny, but he can move. He can move well. He at least can be in the right spot on defense. I think he needs to play more. I think if you're a shooter, that a rhythm is really important. And I would like to see him play a little bit more. But I like all their rookies. I really like the Kevin Love comparison, mostly because I'm a homer. And if somebody tells me that my rookie can be Kevin Love, then that's always good for me.
Hey, I'll roll with it, too. I'm down.
Next question, and I'm kind of putting these two together. So from Thunder underscore fan 2000 and from Lilbit 77. Lilbit didn't mention his name, but I know that he's implying him. Should we trade for Rudy Gay as soon as Cameron Payne is healthy? Is from Thunder fan Thunder underscore fan 2000. And then Lilbit asked if we need an ISO player to trade for an ISO player. I hate Rudy Gay. I don't think he belongs in the Thunder team. I will not change my viewpoint on that. He takes up too many possessions. He takes too many mid-range jumpers. I know he's been really good for Sacramento, and that's fantastic. But the Thunder team is in a development year. Rudy Gay is a guy who I don't really think he's going to help that. And if the Thunder I think Rudy Gay could maybe make the Thunder the 4 seed versus like the 6 seed. But the lack of development from guys, like, he'll eat up Sabonis' minutes, and he'll take away all of Abrines' minutes. Like, he's going to take up minutes on the wing. And I'd even rather develop Jeremy Grant than have him and win, like, 3 more games. I don't think it's worth it. I absolutely don't think it's worth it to trade Cameron Payne for him, mostly because he's basically in a contract year. I won't change that, even when the Thunder look like crap and they could actually use Rudy Gay. I don't think it's a good idea.
Yeah, well, I've gone back and forth a few times, and it's usually when I'm doom and gloom that I'm like, all right, let's just go get Rudy Gay.
Yeah.
when the sensible Dylan comes about, I'm not for it either, and for the exact same reasons as you are. And I really think just from what I've seen out of Jeremy Grant, that's a good enough reason not to go get somebody like Rudy Gay. I feel like that's the guy right there that if you invest a year into, there's some definite potential there.
For sure. Putting him in a good culture under some good coaching and with a team that has a chance to be successful, he's got the maybe one of the best bodies in the NBA. Also, another phrase that sounds really weird. But he's been impressive so far for the Thunder, and he's kind of delivered with his shot blocking, and he's been hitting threes more threes than people really expected out of him. He's currently 44% from 3 with the Thunder, which can in no way continue. But if he can just hit a spot up 3 and play defense and come off the bench, that's good. And they obviously they trust him because they started him in the second half of the Detroit game, basically when Donovan was just trying stuff. I'm with you on Grant. I don't, and again, Rudy Gay, I don't think he will help the Thunder all that much, and it would be like a really anti-Sam Presti move to trade for Rudy Gay for one season, basically.
Yeah, and I mean, what's the difference in getting knocked out in the second round as opposed to the first round,
And also, if the Thunder are like the 6th seed or 7th seed and they lose a few more games, that could help their draft positioning at the, in the draft, a few positions can make a big difference. You know, the Thunder got Cameron Payne, but if they were a little bit worse, they could have had Devin Booker. I mean, those things do matter in the end and can be a little bit of like your long view in the Thunder, like, not winning every single game that they can this season. From Jim underscore Thomas underscore, anything you'd want to change lineup wise, different starters? What do you think?
I've heard Victor Oladipo going to the bench, but then who do you start for him? Abrines, Morrow, maybe. Maybe that helps Morrow get going. I don't think that's a definite for sure fix all, but it's something we could try out. I don't see any reason not to experiment this year. But I don't know. Does Oladipo want to come and get paid and then be the sixth man?
Yeah, and start. I think it'd be easier to if you just kept him as the sixth man to start with. But I think that it might be an ego hit to take him from being a starter to the bench now, especially when you're bringing in like either Anthony Morrow, who's a guy who's proven that he's like barely a rotation player in the league, or bring in like super inexperienced Alex Abrines. I don't know how that would jive with in the locker room. So I kind of like the starting lineup. I think offensively it's been a little bit better than I thought it would be, even though it hasn't been great. I think they just need to bring the effort defensively. And like my first point that I made in this podcast, they just really need Oladipo and Adams to step up and to be the second and third guys. And I think that things will start to fall in place as they do that. But if they can't do it and they continue to play like they have been, then the Thunder have problems out really, to me, outside of what they can do lineup wise. It's just really on those guys' shoulders. Westbrook is doing everything that he can. Nearly every lineup that he's been put in has been really good for the Thunder. Save for there's one five-man unit that I thought was really interesting that was actually pretty bad, and it was basically all you did was sub Lavernier in for Sabonis, and the lineup was a huge net negative, which I thought was kind of strange. Let me see.
Yeah.
Let me find it real quick.
I've liked what I've seen from Joffrey. I mean, he's come in and done some good things.
His threes have been really impressive over the last couple games.
Surprise. I thought for sure he was going to single-handedly go win that game in Orlando for us.
It looked like it. I mean, he hit those. I think it was three threes back to back to back. That was amazing. Okay, here it is. So they've only played 7 minutes and 12 seconds together. Westbrook, Robertson, Oladipo, Joffrey, and Adams. And they're a minus 71.2. which is pretty bad. And then the starting lineup is currently a minus 2.5, which, I mean, they had some just disastrous starts at the beginning of the season. I guess at the beginning of the season. And that's weighing pretty heavily on this first unit. So I'm not really that worried about it. They played really, really well together against the Raptors. And when they started pulling guys out and making substitutions, that's when things kind of went off the rails against them. But I'd like to see them get a little bit more chemistry as the starters. And I'd like to see Sabonis and Robertson continue to not hesitate on taking three-point shots. And I think that would go a long way to helping them.
And I think the biggest thing that has calmed me down on all of it is when the team's playing good, it does look really good. I mean, when they are all in sync, the lineups look good. When we've won games, I've been impressed with how we've looked doing those. They haven't been necessarily ugly wins. Now, Phoenix and the Clippers, there's a little bit of kind of an ugly win, but we've won some games in a really pretty style, I've thought. So yeah. I don't know that the lineups are a huge deal right now.
Yeah, I completely agree. From DT McGowan, who is the third best player on the Thunder?
Right now? Or
let's go right now and then what it should be.
I mean, Depot's been playing so bad.
He's been so bad. That should be our answer. Let's go ahead and say that. Our answer should be Victor Oladipo, but it's been really hard to say that.
Yeah. But I mean, I think Enes Kanter needs to be in that conversation.
Sure.
It's just if we're not going to use him, boy, that whole situation, that's kind of seemed like kind of a not a huge dark cloud over the team, but it just feels like it's a situation that's got to be handled at some point. You pay a guy that much money, and he is good. He's good at what he does. But if we can't use him enough, it just makes things kind of awkward, I think.
Yeah, and I mean he's had some good games. I've always really liked the way that Donovan uses him as kind of a situational type player, and it's hard to say an $18 million player is a situational player. Yeah. But his minutes have kind of been, I mean, they're a little bit more steady than you'd think. He should have played more against Detroit. Detroit's a team that he should be able to hang with Aaron Baines, but I guess nobody could that night, which was really strange. But yeah, I mean, Kanter could definitely be that guy. And it's, I think, one of the hardest things, the spacing has maybe been hardest on Enes Kanter in some ways, in that he has to be a floor spacer himself, which takes him away from the offensive rebounds. And then the paint is just packed. I mean, there's four guys on the opposing team in the paint every time a shot goes up. And so whenever you have that, I mean, the offensive rebounds just aren't there. I mean, the Thunder should be the best team in offensive rebound percentage, but they're eighth in the league, which they're still good. It's not like they're just an awful offensive rebounding team, but, you know, Kanter has the ability to be the best offensive rebounder in the league, and he hasn't really been that guy.
Yeah.
So to answer that, it should be Victor Oladipo, but who the heck knows who it's really been, because I don't even know who the second best player has been like through the last few games.
Right now, hurt Steven Adams doesn't seem like a top three player, but we know he is.
Right. I still think at the end of the season, we'll look back and say it was Westbrook, Adams, and Oladipo. But right now, I just think everyone sucks, but Russell Westbrook.
Everybody, yep.
From at I Teach. Are we in for a life of mediocrity? Is it better to ship out Russ, frowny face, for a huge Lakers or Celtics package now and reset? Okay, this is from Tyler to Destroyer. Tyler, I need you to go to your happy place, okay? Like, whatever it is, like, if you really like coffee or, like, a coupe beverage or something like that, let's go to your happy place because it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. This is not the end of the world. This Thunder team is, they're going to be mediocre this year, but this is also a development year. I don't think that the Thunder are in for like 5 years of mediocrity. I think that they're going to become a better team. But right now it's not looking great, and I just need you to go to your happy place. Anything to add, Dylan?
I think Russ, I'm hoping he sticks around and plays this out. I've loved his attitude through all of it, and just how he's been the leader of this team. And I think if you've got a Russell Westbrook, you've got to be optimistic every year. I mean, trade for who on the Lakers or the Celtics? I mean, I'm sure there's not a whole lot fans that aren't thinking mediocre in those areas as well.
Yeah, you're exactly right. That those players don't promise anything above mediocre when Russell Westbrook can. And do they need to get Russ some more help? Yes. Is that help maybe on the roster? Yeah, I think so. I think that a lot of these guys are going to get a lot better. And then obviously Sam Presti is looking elsewhere too. So I don't think that you trade a superstar unless he tells you that he's leaving. So you just kind of hold on and you just see what happens, and maybe you can be the 2011 Mavericks, even though there's only been like one 2011 Mavericks. Maybe you can be. I don't know. Yep. Last question from at Jamie Don Wheat. I feel like the food at Thanksgiving is highly overrated. I know this is not going over well so far for me. Tell me your most overrated Thanksgiving dish.
I mean, you can't ask a fat guy this question.
I love Thanksgiving food. Jamie's always been on this hating Thanksgiving food train. I don't get it. Here's what I do think is the most overrated. white meat, white turkey meat. It's overrated because you can't just have it by itself. You can have the dark meat by itself, but the white meat's a little bit too dry to have by itself. So I think whenever you have to add something to the white meat, that it makes it a little bit overrated because I don't think it can be rated by itself.
Okay, I'll see your right white meat and raise you desserts because
there's no room
for desserts. I mean, I'm just stuffing all day, turkey all day, sweet potatoes, all that. But I mean, dessert, I don't need any pie afterwards.
Oh man, I don't know that I could do Thanksgiving without pie. What's your favorite Thanksgiving dessert?
Dude, I'm kind of like an experimenter. I'll eat anything on Thanksgiving.
Okay. You don't like go for like the pumpkin pie or the pecan pie? Those are two staples.
If I had to choose between the two, I'd say pumpkin pie.
Okay. Pumpkin pie is the bomb. Dylan, thank you so much for coming on our podcast today. We can follow you on Twitter. Obviously, at Up the Thunder is a great account. If you're not following it, like I know all of you guys already are, but if you're not, go follow them. They're hilarious. They post really great graphics after games. They do such a great job. You should be following them already. And then, Dylan, tell me your Twitter handle.
I think it's just at Dylan Young.
That's what I was going to say, but I didn't want to mess it up.
Hey, but we really appreciate you guys letting us come on. Like I said, Weston, he really wanted to be able to make it, but he's down sick in bed, so we'll have to do this again with him sometime.
Yes, absolutely. Follow us on Twitter at DTV Podcast. Leave us an iTunes review, 5 stars. And I promise we will read some reviews on Friday. So if you want, I think we have 3 to read on Friday. If you want to be the 4th, leave us an iTunes review with 5 stars, and we'll read it on the podcast on Friday. And thanks for listening.